Hello everyone, you're listening to the Fantasy Football Beat, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by MyBookie and Draft. My name is Colin Kelly, you can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. Each week I'm joined by an NFL beat reporter to break down one of the biggest games of the week. And today I'm going to be joined by JP Shadrick of Jaguars.com. We'll be discussing the Jacksonville Jaguars home contest with the Cincinnati Bengals taking place in Week 9. We'll be looking at some of the key players and key matchups that we expect to decide the game. We'll be looking, of course, at Leonard Fournette. We'll be looking a little bit deeper into this Jacksonville Jaguars defense. And then, of course, as I mentioned, we'll be talking about those key areas that we think that it really could decide this contest. After I talk with JP, I'll take a few moments to recap what we discussed and use some of the RotoViz.com apps to dive a little bit deeper into the game. On today's show, I'll be using the Air Yards app, and I'll also be using the Snap Report app to look a little bit into this game. For those of you who don't know, RotoViz is a sports data and analytics site that publishes over 1,000 articles per year and has a suite of more than 20 proprietary apps. You can go to RotoViz.com to check out all the great stuff that we've got going on the website. So we're heading into Week 9 of the season, a huge chunk of the season already in the rearview mirror, and I know a lot of the listeners are doing very, very well with their DFS lineups, with their season-long leagues, and having a real good season that way, but maybe your season isn't going too well, or maybe it is going well, and you just want to enhance it another little bit. And a way that you can do that is by having some action on the games each and every week, and my preferred sportsbook to do that at is MyBookie. As I mentioned, they are a sponsor of the show. They are also my preferred option while placing my wagers. I've had a lot of fun this season. Some prop bets, maybe in a DFS lineup, you're thinking about a player and he can have a big week. I've had a few weeks for him and then done some prop bet and some touchdown bets. So I've had a lot of fun on different options this season with MyBookie. And as a listener to the Fantasy Beat podcast, if you sign up to MyBookie.ag, they will match your first deposit for up to a 50% bonus. And that's something that they've been running throughout the last couple of weeks, and I'm unsure as to how long that's going to last for, but you can still get it here for Week 9. It is a 50% bonus for signing up to mybookie.ag. All you have to do while signing up is use my code ROTOBEAT, and they will match that first deposit with a 50% bonus. So check them out. Great player perks, great website, and the live betting aspect that they have is second to none in my opinion. So check it out, mybookie.ag, the promo code again, ROTOBEAT. And for this game in particular, the Jaguars opened up a slight home favourite, but that has since stretched out quite considerably. They are now a 5.5-point favourite at home. And we know in recent years the Bengals, when they have been, they haven't been favourite a lot of times, but when they have been favourite, they tend to slip up. But a 5.5-point favourite in this one, the money line is -245 in their favour, and it is +195 for the Bengals. The over-under in this one is 39, so one of the lower totals of the week. So maybe we're not expecting a fantasy bonanza in this one, but we'll be talking now, and I'm interested to get JP's thoughts on what way he thinks this game will break down. Then, of course, I'll be back after to go into it a little bit more from a fantasy football perspective to help you set those lineups this coming weekend. So let's get into it with JP. So I'm joined now on the show by JP Shadrick of Jaguars.com and, of course, the Jaguars Radio Network. And the season has started nicely for the Jaguars, I guess we'll say. So, JP, I'm looking forward to previewing this game with the Bengals. So thanks for coming aboard the show.
Always good to be with you. And, yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. Pretty good. 4-3. Could be better. Could be worse. Not a bad place to be. Tied for first place in the AFC South right now. And the Titans currently hold the tiebreaker. But yeah, not a bad place to be considering the past few years around here.
Yeah, so obviously you're coming off the bye after crushing the Colts 27-0 2 weeks ago, and they sacked Jacoby Brissett in that one 10 times, and they put up 518 yards on offense. So heading into the bye week, it probably couldn't have went much better for them. As you mentioned there, the team are 4-3, and they're sitting in one of the two AFC wildcard spots as things sit. But I guess when I mentioned how well they did in their last game, is there any chance that this team went into the bye week and or maybe a bit, maybe we'll call them fat and happy heading into that bye week?
Yeah, cocky is a fine line between confidence and arrogance, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're confident on the confident side because this is a group that hasn't been there before, in the last few years. And there are a lot of new faces around here to try to build towards something. So it was a big swing game for this team to go on the road. Yeah, it's not the Indianapolis Colts of Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck and all that, but it's still a road game in the division. and they went up there and dominated the football game from start to finish and pretty much every aspect of the game except the turnover battle. They turned it over two times, didn't take the ball away at all, which is kind of strange, but that was the only thing that didn't go right in Indianapolis. So I think it was a good momentum swing for this football team going into the bye week. They played that game without a handful of key contributors on offense as well. Fournette was out of the ball game. Cam Robinson went out at the left tackle on the second play from scrimmage and was unable to come back in the ball game. So a handful of guys were out, and they still played well. And I think that was a big confidence boost for this team, knowing that, hey, if a guy's down, it's next man up, and they can go out and perform.
And the last question before we really dive into looking at this game, I guess the team obviously sees themselves as postseason contenders, and that's obviously going to be bolstered by the news that Andrew Luck is going to miss the rest of the season now. That was announced today that he's going on IR for the Indianapolis Colts, so that helps him in the division. But they made a big statement this past week when they sent a sixth rounder for the 2018 draft to the Buffalo Bills for Marcell Dareus. And you know, we'll be talking in a moment about this defense and how good they are against against the pass. But one of the weaknesses maybe in this team has been against the run. They had been allowing 138 yards per game, to running back. So with guys like Calais Campbell, with Dante Fowler, there's so many talented players there, but the run defense had been maybe a slight issue for them. Did you expect them to address it as they headed into that bye week, and especially to pick up somebody like Marcell Dareus?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I expected a trade. I expected maybe some kind of change in approach on the field. I don't think any of us would have thought the trade deadline would have come down to what it did with all the trades in the NFL. This is one for the record books, and The Jags were part of that to bring Dareus, a guy who, he was a third overall pick in the draft in 2011. You got to remember that, and he's a former All-Pro and a two-time Pro Bowler, and the writing was on the wall a little bit in Buffalo. Things had not gone well off the field at times there for him, and it was a handful of changes in the leadership there, and it was... And he's heavy on the books because he's got a big salary and all that. So it made a lot of sense because the Jaguars needed a little bit of extra help up front in terms of that run defense. I mean, 330-something pounds, it's a large man in the middle of the defensive line, which is something they didn't really have. And Avery Jones is a big guy, but he's kind of a mover, He's not there to take up space and hold up two offensive linemen. Well, Dareus can do that, and he can get past the guy in pass rush, and he can run to the boundary when he's playing well. So he's not just a run-stopping nose tackle, which is great. He can do that. But he can play the three technique and get upfield and pass rush, and even played at the end sometimes under Doug Marrone when he was with the Buffalo Bills. So great addition for this football team. It cost him a sixth-round pick. They'll eat some salary to do it, but if he plays like he's capable, it's well worth the price.
Yeah, and we're going to get into the injury reports now for both teams, and I think it's clear when we look at this that the bye week was much more rewarding to the Jaguars rather than the Bengals. Looking through some of the injuries on their report for the Cincinnati Bengals, we have Tyler Boyd did not practice either Wednesday or Thursday with a knee injury, so we'll see how he gets going on. Cody Core had a concussion last week, but he was a full participant on Thursday. The kicker, Randy Bullock, he has a back injury. He was limited on Thursday. So when we're running down through them, they have a lot of guys. Michael Johnson, defensive end, back injury. Did not practice Wednesday, but was limited on Thursday, so that's probably good news for him there. Kevin Minter, linebacker with an elbow injury, has not practiced at all this week. And then Sean Williams with a hamstring injury, the safety, limited on Thursday. So the Bengals are a little bit banged up at the moment, but when we look at the Jaguars, it reads a lot better. We have Blake Bortles with a right wrist injury, but he has been a full participant all week. Leonard Fournette has been a full participant all week. Of course, you mentioned that he missed the pass game against the Colts. Marquise Lee did not practice either day this week with a knee injury, so he's one I'm going to get your opinion on in a minute. And the other one, obviously, you mentioned Cam Robinson went out of that Colts game pretty early in it with an ankle injury, but he has been a limited participant on both days. So I guess I'll get your thoughts on Cam Robinson and Marquise Lee. Do you expect them to suit up this week, and what's going on with Marquise knee? Obviously, with him in his first couple of years for the Jaguars, he had a lot of injuries and kept him off the field, but this season he's had quite a good sustained run off game time.
Sure, let's start with Marquise Lee, and it was the same setup last week for him. He was out a little bit during the week with the knee issue, but then ended up playing on Sunday, and everything went pretty well. So I'm going to guess, and I don't know, but I'm going to guess that's probably the similar setup here, that they're going to give him the rest, let him fight through whatever he's got to do, and then towards the end of the week they'll get him back out there, and I think he's going to be okay. Now, Cam Robinson's interesting because the way he went down on the second play of the game in Indianapolis 2 weeks ago, you'd have thought this is not good. I mean, they carted the guy back to the locker room. When you pull out the cart, that's never a good thing, right? Well, it turns out that it was just a sprain. That's what the team said. Not sure what kind of sprain, high ankle, whatever it was. But you got to remember with Cam, he's a tough customer, right? So he goes back to you go back to Tuscaloosa with him at Alabama. He did not miss a game, and he had 3 years worth of football there. Did not miss a football game. There was an instance 1 year where he had a high ankle sprain against, I believe, Tennessee, and then they had a bye week, and then the week after that was the LSU game. And coming off a high ankle sprain, he played in that game and kept his games played streak alive and played through that. So, and he's had some shoulder issues back at Alabama and all that that he's fought through. So he has not had a clean 3 years at Alabama, but he didn't miss a game. So it wasn't really shocking to me to see him back on the practice field this week, I guess. A little surprising, just the way it went down and all that. It's the NFL. It's a different world. I get it, you know. But that's just him. He's a tough guy. He wants to play football, and he's out there this week, so I expect him to go on Sunday.
Yeah, and you know, you look at anyone that plays in the NFL is pretty damn tough, but those guys on the offense and defensive lines and the trenches, they are the toughest of them all. And looking to this game, obviously, with it being at Everbank Stadium, there is five home games remaining in the season for the Jaguars, but they have yet to win in Jacksonville. They did win a home game, but it was against the Ravens in London, so they just haven't got that win at home. Do you think that obviously is something that they're wanting to change this coming weekend? So the key matchups, and the first one that I have here written down is the Jaguars offense against the Cincy defense. The Jaguars offense isn't going through in the passing game like we've seen in recent years. I know there's been a lot of turnovers for Bartles in the past, but this year in particular, they're relying solely on the running game. The passing offense ranks 28th in the NFL, but it is the number one rush offense so far, 169 yards per game, led by Leonard Fournette, and they're just kind of banking on Bartles to play enough, to make enough plays to keep defenses honest and not constantly be loading the box. So I guess Fournette is without question the kind of jewel off this offense. After getting him in the first round, fourth overall pick, he's averaging 21 carries per game, 99 yards per game. So he's leading the league in rushing touchdowns with 6, and that's including the bye week this past week. I think they've been pretty impressed as well with how he's dealt with it as a receiver, with 15 receptions for 136 yards. How impressed have you been with what he's been able to do since he's slotted in there in Jacksonville?
You know, he came in highly heralded. He's a high draft pick. He was a great running back in college, and in the conference that he came from, he was a superstar for the most part. So you had an idea he was going to be good. And he got here, and you see him on the practice field during the summertime for the first time with the veteran players, and they're just wearing shorts and, you know, nothing, no big deal. They got helmets on. But he fit right in. A lot of times those rookie guys, you can tell they're trying to get their sea legs underneath them and figure out what's going on and then the lay of the land. Well, that was not Leonard Fournette at all. He came in right away, and he looked the part. And that was walking down the hallway. That's in the weight room. That's on the practice field. That's in the meeting room. He, I think, is built to be a football player and be a professional football player. At least so far he's shown that. Now, don't underestimate. I mean, a lot of it is Fournette because, you know, he can run into a brick wall and the brick wall is going to move back like 2 yards, right? I mean, that's just kind of how he is. He's that big and strong and his legs are strong and he's churning and he's always moving forward. But give some credit to that offensive line now, too. They were, you know, the last year or so, they've had some pieces that didn't play well. This year, they've come in and played well. Linder's been out the last few weeks, the center. Shatley came in and did okay, but Linder's expected back this week. The guard play was a question mark in the preseason, but they've come through. Omami at left guard and Can at right guard have played well. The tackles have been very good this year. So up front is where it begins, of course, in the run game. And with Fournette behind that to push that and move things forward, I don't remember Fournette falling backward this year. And that's a testament to the offensive line and, of course, to Linder as well. Yeah, it's a run-first offense. They said that from day one when Marone and Tom Coughlin were hired and announced here. We're going to run the football in Jacksonville. And they've stood with that throughout this season.
And obviously with the game coming up, the Bengals coming off a win, obviously they played the Colts last week while the Jaguars were on bye, but they did beat the Colts, but it was a bit of a nail biter. It wasn't as clean cut as they would have wanted. It was a 24-23 win, and they give up 5 yards per carry to 35-year-old Frank Gore in it. So when you're looking at this game, I think it's the game plan, as you mentioned there, they've been trying to run the ball. The game plan is pretty much going to be to run Fournette, run him a little bit more, and then after that they're probably going to run him a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. You could probably say that same game plan pretty much every week around here,
yeah,
too. But definitely this week, I think so. That's fair to say. This is the Bengals defense that ranks very highly in a number of categories in the league. They have some veteran football players. Geno Atkins up front's a challenge. Vontaze Burfict, if you can keep him on the field and out of penalty trouble, he's a handful. And then on the back end, they have some players in the secondary too. So yeah, I think run the football. If the Jags can get a lead in this game, if they can get a 2-score lead in this game, 10, 14 points early, get the pass rush going, take away any chance for the Bengals to try to run the football for the first time this year. They haven't done it yet. If you can eliminate that and let the pass rush go in the Jaguars' defense with Fowler and Ngakoue and Campbell and now Marcel Darius and all that, that's a group that can take over a football game, especially with a 2-score lead. So that's kind of the feel around here right now. We'll see if it holds true the last couple of months. If the Jags are up 2 scores, they feel like it's the ball game and it's over. So we'll see. But that takes getting that early lead, running the football, moving the ball offensively.
Yeah, so we'll talk about the defense now against the Cincinnati offense, and I guess when we're talking about it, we have to talk about Jalen Ramsey. He's quickly becoming one of the game's elite cover corners, 6'1", 209. He pretty much has the size and strength and the speed to cover pretty much any wide receiver in the NFL. His 2 interceptions in the season, and that's his total from a year ago, so he's already, as well, broken up 11 passes. Calais Campbell has 10 sacks on the season in just 7 games. And has forced 2 fumbles. So there's so many good players you mentioned there as well. Ngakoue, who is having a very, very solid season for himself. So a lot of talent on this defense. And obviously they're going now and they're playing against a Cincinnati offense that has been struggling. But I'm going to get your opinion. I named out some of the players and there's so much talent here. But at the halfway stage of the season, if you had to pick one, who would your defensive MVP be at this point of the season?
Well, right now it's Calais Campbell. I don't think there's any hesitation on that for me, because the guy comes in here as a free agent, a lot of money in the offseason coming his way. He's probably the top free agent signing of the offseason in the National Football League, and he has played above and beyond what was expected. They move him around a little bit, but he has been able to get back there and have, I mean, you mentioned the numbers there, 10 sacks, but his presence is not just on the field, physical. He's 6'8" and he's 300 pounds, whatever the hell he is. He's huge. But his presence goes in that locker room, too. I mean, he's a veteran in the league who's been around, who's played at a high level on winning football teams, and he understands what that takes to get to that level. And he has immediately stepped in and really taken over the locker room. A lot of folks kind of follow his lead on not just defense, but on offense too, of how to go about their business. This is still kind of a young group around here. So his presence not only is on the field, yeah, that's very important, but getting other guys around him to kind of follow his lead is a big part of what Calais Campbell has done here. A close second, by the way, is Jalen Ramsey, because those go hand in hand. It's hard to have the great cover without the great pass rush, and it's hard to have the great pass rush if you don't have decent cornerbacks out there covering. So they've fed off of each other this year. Ramsey's going to lock down the side. Boye's on the other side. You got the safeties playing well, and you got the pass rush up front that's taking advantage of it, or vice versa. So if the quarterback gets it out, they're not open because the defensive backs are back there too. So Campbell 1, Ramsey a close second for me.
Yeah, and I seen an interview with Jalen Ramsey during the bye week, and he was talking about exactly that, the pass rush helping the coverage and the coverage helping the pass rush. So I think they're all working very well together, and I have been lucky enough in the past to talk to Calais Campbell a couple of times, and I know that one of the things he really prides himself on is leadership, so there's no surprise to me that he's gone in there to the locker room and really taken it over. Cincinnati have give up three sacks and 6 quarterback hits on Andy Dalton last week, so I think this Jags defense has to be kind of licking its lips after what they did against the Colts, and now having a week to rest up. And this is an area where on that offensive line Cincinnati have had issues. It should be an area where the Jags are really heavily favored getting that pass rush against Andy Dalton this weekend.
That would be nice, and I think that's the idea here. This is a group now that you know, like we said, that Cincinnati hasn't run the ball well. I think they've had one rushing touchdown all year. That was Mixon. I think he's got about 250 yards for the season or something close to that. So they haven't been able to really find a running game. And that's what Andy Dalton could use to just balance something out, because he's getting popped right now. He's a target on his back. And this is not the week to have a target on your back if you're a quarterback, the way this Jaguars defensive front seven's playing right now. They are feeling it, and they're on track to shatter the franchise sack record, and they're still on track for the NFL sack record, which is 72 sacks by the 1984 Chicago Bears. So if you start throwing those kind of numbers around and those kind of teams around from the past, well, this is a group that feels like they can go do that plus some. So this is a week to go get back on that. At least they feel like they're going to have a pretty good matchup this week against this offensive line.
Yeah, and you mentioned there Mixon, and obviously he's leading this Bengals team in rush attempts. He has 85 on the season, but he really hasn't produced in the Bengals overall, on the third worst rushing offense in the league, only behind the Miami Dolphins and the Arizona Cardinals. And I mentioned earlier some of the struggles. The only struggle really this defense can be held accountable for is maybe against the run, and probably that's down to the fact that teams are afraid to pass on them. But this here, obviously with Marcell Dareus coming in, is this one where you think that they really stand up and stop the run, or do you think that it's somewhere, you know, it's one of those ones, one side of this battle has to get going, it has to be the run game for the Bengals, or it has to be the run defense for the Jaguars? Who do you see winning that matchup this weekend?
Yeah, I'm with the Jags defense on this, especially with Dareus in there to just kind of fill some space and give a little more swagger to a group that already kind of had it. Now, I will say, there are times where the Jags defense has been good against the run. There have been moments, though, and key moments where they haven't. Against the New York Jets, there were three explosive running plays in that game. Otherwise, they did okay against the run. And that's kind of how it goes in the NFL. You can give up, you know, 2 yards a carry, and then somebody takes it 80 yards to the house, and that skews your result, and that's just the way you get 150 yards on the ground in the league. It's just kind of how it happens. So that's happened a couple of different times with this Jaguars defense. That said, it is an issue, and they understand that, and that was priority number one. That's why they went out and got Dareus. So my number, if for entertainment purposes only, I'm going with the Jags defense in that matchup.
And just two quick questions before we get this wrapped up. Is there any other areas you think that maybe key areas in deciding this game that maybe we haven't touched on that you think could have a major impact?
Yeah, I'm curious to see how Blake Bortles responds to a decent game last week. You know, can he put them back-to-back together? He had a good game through the air in Indianapolis. They ran the ball effectively. It was a balanced offense, the whole thing. But there have been times throughout Blake's career where you go out and have a 300-yard game, and you come out and throw three picks the next week. It just hasn't been there. So can he come back in a game like this, where they might run the ball a lot, but there are going to be some key times where he has to make throws? That's one thing. Can he make those throws? Does he have a downfield threat to throw to? That's another big question mark for this football team right now. Consistent down the field. Marquise Lee, as you said, has been on the injury report. So is he going to be available? Where has Keelan Cole been, the undrafted rookie? Alan Hearns has been relatively quiet this year. D.D. Westbrook hasn't seen the field yet. I don't know what they're going to expect from him if he's available this week. He's practicing for the first time. So they're trying to find somebody to take the place of Allen Robinson, who was hurt the first week. They haven't quite found that, and I think that's the real question. That's why it's so run-heavy, and that's okay as long as you can run the football, but if you can't, you got to find something else to do.
Yeah, that's, you mentioned that if the team can be two scores in the lead, it's always going to favor them this season, and it's really game over if they get to that stage. But the problem for them is if they're two scores behind and they have to put the ball in Bartle's hands, try and get those points. That's the interesting part, to see how the team reacts from that perspective. So finally, now as we wrap up, I want to get your prediction for the game. Obviously, I'm sure your heart's in a Jags win, and I think it's going to have to be one that the Jags win. And really, if they want to make that playoff push, it's one that they must take at this point of the season. You have to be winning those home games. As I mentioned, the struggles to get them W's at home so far this season. So I'll let you have the floor with your final thoughts on the Jags and Bengals this weekend.
Well, to start off with the home game stuff, 5 of the next 7 are at Everbank Field. So they better figure out the home pretty quickly, or it's going to turn south in a hurry. It's a running football game for the Jags. I think they're going to pound the rock. Leonard Fournette should be back on the field, and I think the offensive line is going to be there for him. So for me, I think the Jags defense I don't know if they shut out Cincinnati. It's hard to predict that in the National Football League, but I think they have a good day against Cincinnati. I think the defensive backs match up well, even though A.J. Green is an all-world wide receiver. They have a lot of help in the defensive backfield for the Jags to cover up those guys. So without the threat of a run game in Cincinnati and the pass rush going, if the Jags have that lead, I think it's a 24-7, 24-10 type of game, somewhere in there. A lot of running will kill some clock here, but some key scores for the Jags offense. And maybe a takeaway and a score on defense for the Jaguars will get it done on Sunday.
Once again, thanks to JP for coming on the show. It was JP Shadrick. You can follow him on Twitter at JP Shadrick. And he is, of course, as I mentioned there, part of the team at Jaguars.com and the Jaguars Radio Network. Lots of great work and really a lot of great information while talking to him. In just a moment, I'm going to dive a little bit deeper into what we discussed using some of the apps, as I mentioned, on rotoviz.com. And although the season is at week 9, you can still get yourself 30% off a RotoViz NFL pass through the podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. This is for listeners of the podcast only, and your subscription gives you unlimited access to all our NFL content and tools, and best of all, it helps support the pod. So make sure you get that 30% discount for your NFL pass. It is rotoviz.com/podcast. So obviously, as we talk to JP and we look through a lot of the aspects of this game, it is a game that kind of, in my opinion, shapes up to be very much favorable to the Jaguars. Obviously, the bookmakers have it in that way too, with the sportsbooks having them a 5.5-point favorite at this point, as I record this on Thursday. There's a lot of interesting aspects to the game, and I think the defense just of the Jacksonville Jaguars is obviously the real deal, and I expect them to step up to the plate once more this week. So I do think it's going to be a very, very tough day for the Cincinnati Bengals, and as we talk through it, I think it's going to be clear that the Bengals are going to be a tough start this week for me in fantasy, and unless I'm doing a hugely contrarian play, I'm not going to be starting a lot of them in DFS. But I'm going to go through it now and run through it in a little bit more of an individual basis. The thing, obviously, when you're talking, and it was interesting when I mentioned to JP about what he thought might be the element of the game that we hadn't discussed that could be a key element, and he mentioned about Blake Bortles, and we obviously know in the past there's been a lot of turnovers from Bortles. We've seen, you know, he was kind of the king of garbage time for a few years there, where you could always rely on him in that fourth quarter to throw a few touchdowns when the team was well and truly behind. But that isn't the situation this year. They're trying to get him to control the ball, hand it off a lot more, obviously, to Leonard Fournette, and then only pass in key situations. They are the second lowest passing team in the league. They've only had 196 attempts this season. The only team with less attempts is the Buffalo Bills. So it's been a case of a very conservative game plan built on the defense and the running game, and I think that's exactly what we're going to see this week again. So getting into some of the players now, I guess I'll run through the Bengals first, because I think it's going to take a little bit less time. And I seen a couple of tweets this week that I enjoyed, and I seen that one tweeted just before I started to record this one, it was that Andy Dalton should refuse to play against Jacksonville this week. And I kind of hinted at it when I was talking with JP. There's a lot of elements in this game with you know, the sacks that the Jaguars have been putting up. He did mention they're on course to break the record set by the 1984 Bears team. So they're just thoroughly dominating teams. They've had two games this season with 10 sacks, and this Bengals offensive line hasn't been, hasn't been great. It hasn't been even good to this point of the season. So it's going to be a tough day for Dalton. I think he's going to get hit early and often, and I think the defense of the Jaguars should have him under a lot of pressure from the very start. Obviously, I kind of hinted at it as well, that there's the possibility that if the Bengals could go out and take the lead, that obviously alters the game plan dramatically against the Jaguars and can make it a lot tougher for them. So I think, though, it's not going to go that way. I can't see it happening that way. And, you know, Andy Dalton is a player this week that I just don't think is startable. Whether, I know there's a lot of teams on bye in week 9, but unless you're in a real, real tough situation, I just would not be starting him against this pass defense in particular of the Jaguars. So leaning off that, then obviously you have Joe Mixon, who put up a lot of noise over the last couple of weeks about wanting to get his opportunity. Said if he got the same opportunities as Le'Veon Bell, he would actually be a better player than him. So that didn't work out last week for him, and he did have that long catch and run, but as a running back on the ground, it just there's been nothing really there for the Bengals running backs this season. Whether it's been him, whether it was Jeremy Hill, whether it's Gio Bernard, it's been a case where all the production has come through the air basically for the Bengals running backs this season. mentioned as well Marcell Dareus going in. The one point that they could possibly decide to attack in this one for the Bengals is the run defense, but I think after that trade, it's obviously not as easy to do, and I just think it's going to be such a tough day. I can't really see, you know, when JP said with the score too, I think he said that it would be 7 or 9 points the Bengals would end up with, and I think it's going to be a similar situation. I think it's going to be a lot of field goals. I think they're going to struggle to get drives going. I think there's going to be turnovers forced. So, you know, Mixon's a player who has not impressed me this season at all, and obviously the offensive line has been a key area in that, where he just hasn't had the holes to run through. But at this moment in time, whether it's the offensive line, whether it's him, he's just a player that you cannot start with any confidence. Then Giovanni Bernard is a player who I've always been a fan of ever since he was drafted and came into the league for the Bengals, but the opportunities haven't been there for him this season. Every time they talk about giving him more opportunities, it hasn't just happened. So, and then we obviously seen Mixon of the large catch and run last week, which probably helps him to gain a little bit more receiving work as we see that going forward. Jeremy Hill is a player I'm not a fan of, so I will not be starting him, and I wouldn't recommend starting him in any leagues this week. When you go to the wide receivers, then it's interesting. Obviously AJ Green is AJ Green, but him and Andy Dalton just haven't seemed to be connecting on the same wavelength so far this season. There's been a lot of targets to Green that have been just slightly overthrown, or even if they come to Green, they've deflected off his hands and have in turn been intercepted. So it just hasn't been the smooth chemistry that we expect from him and Dalton, and they've played for so long, and it's kind of what we expect. But when you look at the team and the snap report over the season, it's pretty much AJ Green's in there all the time. We've seen Alex Erickson get some limited usage. He's not somebody who's on the fantasy radar at the moment. Brandon LaFell, though, is somebody who's getting quite a large, considerable amount of usage. He's pretty much in all his games this season on around 90% of the snaps on average, 89.1 or 87.5 being the lowest, and then up to 93%. But they're all around that 91%, 92%, 93%. So he's getting in there pretty much at all times. So the opportunities there for him. The other one is Tyler Boyd, who missed a couple of games, but he's in there kind of around 60% of the snap. So Boyd is somebody who may get a little bit more target opportunity as the season goes on. Obviously John Ross has come back into the team after his injuries. He did play last week. We'll see if he can get more involved, but just this week is not the week to be trying to see if you can get him involved in your lineups, unless you're really, really stuck in a really, really deep league. Looking then at the air yards off the Bengals, and you're looking at Tyler Kroft, Brandon LaFell, and AJ Green are the three that I've highlighted in this, and Kroft has played in 6 games this season, and he's had a very solid role since Eifert was ruled out for the season. Pretty much the same size, same weight, but just a little bit less athletic than what Tyler Eifert is, but he has 27 targets on the season, and he has 199 air yards. His ADOT, as you'd expect for the majority of tight ends, is under 10 yards. It is 7.4, but his target share has been healthy through those 6 games that he's played. He's at a 15% target share, and we'll see. I think that is an area of the field that maybe they can get some joy this week, is against those linebackers, try and move the ball through the center areas of the field with Tyler Kroft. Then obviously you have AJ Green and Brandon LaFell playing more on the outside. No comparison when you look at targets, 65 this season for Green, 37 to Brandon LaFell. But 37 targets through this stage of the season is nothing to be sniffed at. It's obviously an opportunity to get that positive production there, as air yards for LaFell, 320, and again a huge jump up to 779 for AJ Green. So when you look through it, you know, it's a case of obviously you know what AJ Green is, but if you're playing in DFS this week, you're going to have to pay up to get AJ Green. Brandon LaFell, you might be able to slot in there a little bit cheaper. And against a defense like we're facing this week in the Jacksonville Jaguars, maybe it's to take that play that you think might grab you that touchdown. LaFell is one of those players who can get in the end zone. And let's just see. It's very tough this week to start any of the Bengals, but maybe if you're paying up at other areas, you might slot Brandon LaFell or Tyler Kroft into those lineups. They are slim possibilities of having a weekly upside this week, and Kroft would be my pick out of the two of those guys. So moving on then, we're going to look at the Jaguars on the other side of the ball, and with Leonard Fournette, I think we pretty much know what we're getting from him. He's going to get to carry the rock this week a minimum of 20 times, and I would say I would not be surprised if I see him get 30 touches this week as they play the Cincinnati Bengals. It sets up perfect for them to run the ball, to use that defense then, as I mentioned earlier. So Fournette is, you know, no doubt that this, I think he'll be the highest scoring player in this game this week. The other player that I'm interested to see how it goes is TJ Yeldon. He had a big game in his first game active of the season. He had 122 yards and a touchdown on 9 carries. Chris Ivory, the other running back, who by and large has outproduced what people thought he was going to do this season. He's been surprisingly good in the receiving game, but I think we might see a situation where we see Yeldon, if active, be a player that starts to work his way into that RB2 role in this team. And I think it's still going to be all Leonard Fournette, but if he can get, you know, 15% of the touches on a weekly basis, we could see Yeldon break off some big runs like he did against the Colts. So he's an interesting name to watch as the season kind of moves along here. And obviously, if Fournette was to get injured, you have to be able to decipher who that handcuff would be between Chris Ivory and Fournette moving forward. So that's something kind of more down the line for the rest of the season. I don't think it's something to overly concern ourselves with this week. Obviously, Fournette getting pretty much all the work in this one. Looking then at the pass catching options, you have Marquise Lee, who at this point in time, it's kind of up in the air as to what his status will be for this coming week. Obviously, the Friday injury report has to come out, and we'll see what the situation is there. And then looking at the other wide receiver of note for this team, and it is Allen Hurns, and he has caught five of eight passes for 101 yards in the last game against the Indianapolis Colts. It's kind of hard to predict which one on a week-to-week basis is the number one, but throughout the season they've been kind of going back and forth between him and Lee, and if Lee was to miss out, he should obviously have that more bigger opportunity and target share this week. And I think he could be one of those. Again, I mentioned earlier, this is a game where I think if you're in other games where you're paying up and have confidence in other players, you might need to get a player here where you're paying down for. And I think Allen Hurns could be that opportunity this week. Between him and Keenan Cole, Marquise Lee, they're kind of the three that you're looking at in this one. DD Westbrook coming in this week, but it's hard to, with his first game of the season, missing so much time, hard to expect him to come in and have a significant role this week. So Keenan Cole has been playing kind of between 50 and 60% of the snaps this season, but the production hasn't really been there. Marquise Lee's up between 70 and 80%, and then it's 70 and 80% for Allen Hurns too. So Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee, kind of 1A, 1B so far this season in snaps. Then when we look at the air yards, all three, or Mercedes Lewis, I guess, is somebody else slot into this too. So for the air yards, I'm going to slot in Mercedes Lewis. He's obviously caught quite a considerable amount of touchdowns this season, but he's done that on just 20 targets. And obviously, again, like Croft, it's 8.7 ADOT for him on that average depth of target. His target share is 10. So, you know, there's not a lot of usage there. It's a low-volume passing offense, so if you're stuck, the tight end is abysmal this week. And if you're I can't even speak, I said a dismal, I don't even know if that's a different word, but abysmal is the word I wanted to say for week 9. And Mercedes Lewis, if you're really stuck, might be somebody that you have to flex in there, but I'm trying to avoid it this week. Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns, so obviously we're looking at the targets. Hurns this season 38 targets, Marquise Lee 46 targets. So when you're looking at them, if Lee does miss out, there's an extra little chunk, because Lee this season has had a 23% target share off that market down there in Jacksonville. So if he misses out, obviously it's going to bump Hurns up a bit, and Hurns on his own this season has 19% of the target share, and he's working off 416 air yards to Marquise Lee's 572 air yards. And it's pretty much a balance there, because obviously there is those 8 more targets as well, so pretty close overall for the two of them. So again, if Lee does miss out this week, and even if he does play, he might be under 100%. The one concern here for the Jaguars is the low passing volume, and of course, if they get a lead, they're not going to need to pass it this week. So that's my main concern. But out of these guys, out of the Jaguars, Allen Hurns will be my preferred start this week if you have to slot him in. And it's a game, you know, I don't really want to say that I'm going to make the Jacksonville Jaguars defense my star play of the week. I think that's a bit of a stretch, because people are going to be on them in DFS. People are going to expect them to have a big week this week, so I can't go with the defense, although I think they have the possibility of the highest scoring unit here. Fournette's obviously going to have a big day, in my opinion, but I can't go for the star name that is everyone is expecting to do. So I'm going to go with Allen Hurns as my draft star player of the week this week. If you're playing on draft, he's somebody I think that there's not going to be a lot of people probably looking at, and I think it'll be an easy target to get in the later rounds. And of course, talking off draft, if you want to join in and play in a draft, I've mentioned it here on all the Fantasy Beat podcast so far this season. I don't know if you've joined in or not, but you can download the app anytime. You can just search Draft in the App Store and you can join the game in minutes. You can play directly from your computer at playdraft.com, whichever you prefer, and for a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit, but you must use my promo code RVRadio. No salary caps, play a real-life snake draft, just like you play with your friends in a season-long league, but pretty much have to do nothing after that. You do the draft, it lasts for a couple of minutes, then the game lasts for 1 week. There is no roster management, you just set it and forget it. And once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of the last minute injuries for you. So get it done. Drafts start from $1. So there pretty much is a draft for everyone, and it is a lot of fun. I've really been enjoying it this season. That is playdraft.com. My code is RVRadio. Check it out, have some extra fun this week 9, and of course, as I mentioned there, Alan Hearns, my star player of the week this week for draft. So with that is going to do it for the week 9 edition of the Fantasy Football Beat. We are obviously now up on our own feed as well on iTunes. A lot of the RotoViz radio shows now have their own feeds. You can go and get those, or you can still stay on the regular RotoViz radio feed. So there's lots of options now for listening to the podcast. This show is up on the Fantasy Football Show for RotoViz, and you can check that out. The RotoViz Radio flagship show, RotoViz Radio, is up there as well on that. The Highlight Reel podcasts are up there as well as the RotoViz Recap Show. So there's lots of good podcasts on that channel. Do give us a written and review up there. Written review the main RotoViz Radio feed too, if you haven't already. And with that, my name's Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter. Enjoy week 9. Have a good one. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Football Beat. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favourite podcast app. Contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.